As has already been mentioned, this is Mother's Day, and we thank God for mothers. My mother is in heaven, as is the mother of my children. She's there too, and I'm looking forward to joining them. But we thank God for any occasion that gives us an opportunity to remember those who have loved us, cared for us, provided for us. And I have very, very precious memories of my own mother. She was a loving, gracious mother, as was my wife to our children. You might be interested in knowing that Mother's Day was first suggested by a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis. She lived between the years 1864 and 1948. She first suggested a national observance of such a day when mothers could be loved in a public way and families were free to express their adoration and appreciation for their mothers. At a memorial service for her own mother on May the 10th, Anna Jarvis gave to her one of her favorite flowers, which was a red carnation. And as you know, the carnation has been adapted as a special flower for Mother's Day. A red flower for those whose mothers are living and a white flower for those who've gone on before. It was on the 9th of May, 1914, by an act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day, and I love these words, he established the day as a public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. By then it had become customary to wear a white carnation for those who had mothers that had departed, in the red for the living. And we thank God that custom still continues until this day. But as I read this quote of Woodrow Wilson, I thought, how different to today's society. Sadly, there is an element in our society who demean the role and the service provided by mothers, try to cheapen it and belittle it. But thank God for every mother here that shows a loving interest in her family and a care for them. This morning, during this memorial, Mother's Day, I'd like to think about a mother in Scripture, and I'm sure you've already identified the mother that I'm thinking of. Her name was Hannah, and we read about her in the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her name means a gracious giver. Isn't that a nice name for a mother? A gracious giver. Certainly that was true of my mother, and I'm certain that you feel the same way about yours. It's a most interesting story about Hannah. She did not have the privilege of bearing children initially. She was married to a man named Elkanah, and in those days it was accepted practice that a man had two wives, and in some cases more. But Hannah did not have the ability to bear children, whereas Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, she had borne children to him. And she mocked and ridiculed Hannah with her problem of not being able to bear children. To a Jewish wife, this was so extremely important. It was the aspiration and desire of every wife to bear children, because she hoped that she would have the honor of bearing the Messiah. And with each birth, each mother hoped that the boy child she delivered would ultimately be proven to be the Messiah. And if she was barren, as was Hannah, why, that possibility was eliminated entirely. Let's read in 1 Samuel chapter 2 And we'll begin at verse 8. And let's go to verse 7 for connection. Chapter 1 and verse 8. He raiseth up the poor out of... Oops, that's chapter 2 still. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a chair or a bench seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore or profusely. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked or noticed her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up at the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So we pause and pray. Father, we bow and give thanks to thee for thy love and for thy Son. We thank thee, Father, for this very interesting narrative from thy holy word. We thank thee that it proves to us once again the great power and the great compassion of our wonderful God. Please speak to each one of us here, and may we be aware of the blessings of God, and may each mother particularly know the touch of God upon their lives. We pray in our Savior's precious and ever worthy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I think of Hannah, and I'm sure you do the same, we think of her as a woman of prayer. She was a woman that knew how to pray, even in the midst of her discouragement. And there are times when, as believers, we go through periods in our life and we're discouraged and feel the need of the special presence and touch of God. That was Hannah. And she, whose name meant gracious giver, knew what it was to be often in prayer. You notice in verse 10, she wept as she prayed. And she was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord, and wept profusely. It was obvious that the burden on Hannah's heart caused her great sorrow and great grief. And the only one that she knew who could possibly attend to that need was Jehovah God himself. And so it was that she had her prayer that she offered to God, and I'm confident it was frequently. I want you to notice that was a prayer that was singular in its nature. She didn't go all over the map. She only had one need, one concern, one desire. She wanted a man child from the Lord. And so she prayed that way. And as she prayed, she wept. I wonder, dear ones, this morning, if there are times in our life when we actually weep for our children. And of course, this isn't reserved for the mother of the family. But as the husband, as the father, do I know what it is to weep for my children as I cry to God that he might in his sovereignty take them, keep them, bless them, and use them for his glory? So she wept. I want to encourage you, dear mother, to be equally concerned, not only about the physical well-being of your children, but more importantly, the spiritual well-being. You know, I used to think, and erroneously so, that once my children grew and left home, well then, the problems of child raising were gone. But it's not necessarily so. Believe me. And I think I see a smile of recognition on the face of some. No matter how long they're out from under your roof, they're still in your heart. And not only they, but then the children God gives them, and maybe the grandchildren he gives them. And we want to make certain that we bring our family into the presence of God daily and frequently during the day. What a help and what a blessing it would be. As far as Hannah was concerned, she knew where she could pray. Now, I know she prayed in her home. If she hadn't prayed in her home and known a familiarity with God, then she wouldn't have been comfortable at the temple praying there. But that's where she was, as we see her in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was there praying for the son for which she longed. And so I want to encourage you that you develop that habit, mother and father too, of consistent, earnest prayer for your children. If ever there was a day when our kids needed parental prayer, that day is today. I've been in the U.S. just within the last week. Interestingly, of all the cities to be in, it was Las Vegas. But I was there on a family matter because a grandson was to receive a medical award for some research. And that's where the convention was being held. Wickedness and sin, awful. Our 21st century Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what it is. And our kids are being exposed to that in a greater or lesser degree. And it is only, I believe, the prayers of parents and loved ones, those in the fellowship praying for the young people and the older ones, that God will preserve them and keep them from sin. Because when your children and my grandchildren go to high school tomorrow, they're going right back into it. Cry to God that they might be preserved from it. I thank God for a praying mother and a praying father. Helen and I were both blessed that way. My wife Helen was the youngest of 11 children. Fortunately, her mother only had the privilege of raising 10, as one died at the age of 2. But Helen told me often that as a little preschooler, she would come downstairs at the beginning of the day when finally she woke up and other children in the family had gone off to school. And she knew right where to find her mother. In the dining room, there was a large easy chair. And she knew her mother would be kneeling at that chair. And she said, "Aren't many days I came down to my mother and I just climbed up on her back." And her mother just continued to talk to God about her children. What's the point? She knew she had a mother, and that mother had an appointment. She learned later, of course, with God. And she was on her knees, crying to God for the preservation and the salvation of her children. I'm confident, beloved, that there were many mornings when that mother heard the little footsteps coming toward her and felt that little one climbing up on her back, that her prayer was intensified to pray for Helen and her salvation. And God answered those prayers. I believe he answered prayers for all 11. Mother, go in for prayer. God will bless you, and he'll keep your children and use them for your glory. I'm confident that I'm speaking to some this morning, and you're praying for your kids. Not only their salvation, maybe they're already saved, but you want them to be raised for God and called to his service. I have a niece who this morning is landing in an Islamic country to take the gospel. I know that girl's parents prayed for her like we prayed for ours before she was born, that she might be used of God and for God. And I encourage you so strongly to do that. The Lord didn't teach men to preach. He taught them to pray. "Lord," they said, "teach us to pray." Why did they say that? They'd heard him pray. I remember a young man that was saved in our assembly, in our chapel, a number of years ago. Master's degree in electronics, gold medal from university. Came along to this chapel, and he and his wife and two children trusted Christ. But shortly after, he came to me and he said, "Arnett, may I come along to that morning prayer meeting?" I said, "Certainly. Why do you want to come?" He said, "I realize if I'm going to learn how to pray, I got to be among men who know how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Oh, we who are older, oh, brethren, may the young men be able to use us as mentors, to go into the holy presence of God, to hear his voice, to call upon him, and to see results of God honoring prayer. And so there are those who have that passion. She poured out her soul before the Lord. Notice verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord." And of course, that isn't a Lord of deity. You'll notice the small letter L. It's a note of respect. You've noticed Hannah answered and said, "No, sir. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord." Beloved, that was the spirit of this praying mother. And may you and I know what it is to so pray. I can remember my wife coming home from the sisters' missionary prayer meetings on a Thursday night. I'd kept the kids. I felt that was an opportunity for her to fellowship with other sisters of a like interest. And I remember time and time again, she would say to me, "Arn, I wish you could have heard Mrs. Nicholson pray tonight." Mrs. Nicholson was the mother of Boyd Nicholson Sr. And according to my wife, she knew how to go into the presence of God. Dear sister, pray. Pray for the assembly. I often feel when we gather together at the Lord's Supper, the sisters are silent, but there are those present, and they're right in the throne room. And they so express themselves in worship, the Lord hears it, and he raises the tone of the entire meeting. And we brethren will never know the effectiveness of praying sisters. Dear sister, go for it. Go for the gold and know his presence. And you will be blessed and your children will be blessed and your assembly will be blessed. Is there anything more in spiritual child raising? I believe there's one. And that is that mother must know a relationship with God. Am I talking to a mother this morning? And sadly, you don't know Christ. Mother, you can't point your kids to Christ if you don't know him. Oh, I plead with you. I sat down on a plane a week ago last night, as we were flying out of Las Vegas. I was traveling with my daughter and her son, her and her husband, and we weren't able to sit together. But there was a seat here and a seat behind it. She said, "Dad, you take that seat." And I said, "No, honey, you take it." There was a young lady sitting there. "You take that." "No," she said, "you take it." I sat down beside that girl, and she was reading a book. And all I could see was the author's name, David Jeremiah. I don't know if you're familiar with that man of God, but he's an outstanding Bible student. So when I was comfortable, I said, "I see you're reading Dr. David Jeremiah. Do you know him or know of him?" "No," she said, "I don't." But she said, "My mother gave me this book, my grandmother rather, and I thought it'd be a good time to read it." I said, "What's the title of it?" She said, "Grace." I said, "What do you know about God's grace?" "I don't know anything," she said, "but I'm trying to learn. I really want to know it." And I had the joy of sitting at the side of that young woman. Her name was Angela. Pray for Angela. And pouring into her heart the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Then I excused myself to let her hear what Dr. Jeremiah had said. Brethren and sisters, let us be open to the call of God and be able then to make that message known. She was a woman, according to verse 27, of a singular petition. She comes back eventually to the priest, Eli, and she said, "You remember that day 4 or 5 years ago, and I was praying here at the temple, and you accused me of being drunken?" She said, "I was praying for this child. This is the child I prayed for. And God hath given me my petition. And now I've come to give my child to the Lord." That was her promise to God. If God gave her a child, a man child, she would give him back to God. And it was assumed or presumed that at age 5, 4 or 5, that year when she and Elkanah went to the temple, along went Samuel at that tender age. I wondered, as I thought of it this week, how she felt when she was packing that little bag. "And I'm taking my son to the temple, and he'll stay there and he'll be raised there for God." But that's what she did. She gave him to God. And mother, if you haven't started praying for your kids that way, I plead with you to do it. Called my friend, living that time in Wingham, late one evening. Helen said, "Arne, it's too late to call him." I said, "Look, Dan will be up." So I called him. I said, "Dan, I hope I'm not getting out of bed." "Oh, no," he says, "I'm just sitting here reading to my son." I said, "Don't tell me he's arrived already." "No," he said, "but Jeanette and I have promised that we will read through the New Testament while he's still in the womb." And that kid heard the gospel before he was born. Oh, to have that kind of a passion for your kids. I remember going in, as I'm sure every parent here has or most, going into my child's bedroom, son and daughter, bending over them in their crib or in their bed, planting a kiss on their quiet, still brow, and crying to God, "Lord, save my boy, save my girl, and use them for yourself." Brethren, I repeat, they need it, and they need praying parents. But then, and I hurry through this, I'll give you my outline, and you can take and develop and preach it. She was a mother as well of a promise that she kept. Verse 28, she lent him. The word there should be, and she gave him to the Lord. Have I given my kids and their kids to the Lord? I trust we all have. And then she wanted that child to be trained and skilled for God. Then she was a mother of praise. God answered her prayer, and she was blessed. And the day came in the first verse of chapter 2 when she was able to express her gratitude to God for what he had done. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Lord, you have met my need." And she goes, you read that prayer this afternoon and you'll be blessed as she poured out her heart. Not now to cry to God for a son, but to cry that the God of heaven would use her son for his eternal glory. She was a mother of praise. Hannah prayed and said, "I rejoice in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted. My strength has received new vigor in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." She joyfully praised God. What had she done? She got her eye off the gift she wanted and got it on the giver. And dear mother, dear father, we can thank God that he's given us children. I have two, a son and a daughter, and I thank God for them. And you know, I said to somebody the other day, the older I get, the more I appreciate kids that have got a care and a love for their parents. But that doesn't start when the kids are 19 and 20. It starts when they're still being held close by a mother, and when a father takes them on his knee and expresses his love. Go for it, young parent. And God will bless you as only our sovereign God can. And so that was praise that rose from a heart of a devoted mother. And I pray that in this company there will be those who will so live a life of devotion and honor to him. Shall we pray? Father God, we bow and give thanks to thee for thy love and for thy precious son. Thank thee for the pleasure of being here with the saints in Melton. And we pray that the assembly here will know your presence in a very real and vital way. And may those who are parents in the physical and natural sense become spiritual parents to those that visit this place, or those for whom they have a care. Father, we give all to thee. Pray your blessing upon all who are here in the company this morning, and may the nearness and the love of the Lord be realized. May we have the joy of being able to go into the presence of God, as did Hannah, and say, "My horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord." This we pray in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.